You are now listening to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for Stardust to Celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Stay up to date at nextonscene.com or follow us on social media at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene. Welcome back to Next on Scene, everybody. It is your host, Jackie Zuck. So, motivation news of the day. I don't know about any of you, but as I always talk on my earlier segments, I am a total fan. TV guilty pleasure of mine is Vanderpump Rules. And this weekend, Brittany and Jax got married, who are two of the reality star cast, and they've been dating on and off for a couple years. Now they've been studying for a while because now they're married, obviously. And it was such a big deal. It felt like the royal wedding for the United States. I mean, she got married in the Kentucky castle, looked freaking amazing and gorgeous. They worked with so many incredible vendors, and I literally was driving home from New York and was making my husband stalk all their Instagram stories. Basically all about what was going on at the wedding. Freaking hysterical. I totally own that. I was a crazy psycho, and it was worth it. It was totally worth it to stalk all their stories. He even said that I was on his own story, and just have to tell you that just by tagging a hashtag specifically on Instagram can get you thousands upon thousands of views if you do it the right way. So if you are not maximizing doing hashtags on your stories, advice of the day, definitely maximize and use trending hashtags, because hashtags are huge. My husband had probably like 100 to 200 people, you know, viewing his stories every day. When he did the story hashtag for their wedding, he got over 5,000 views. Unfreaking real. So advice of the day to definitely go into trending topics and use their hashtags on your stories. So that is advice for the day. Another thing that I saw recently was there is a Teddy Trust organization. This is really freaking cute. A Teddy Trust organization that provides teddy bears for children abroad with trauma. Really touched by that story. I don't know about any of you. It was on BBC News not too long ago, and I just wanted to come on and share that today. So wanted to inspire you all. So those are my two motivating things of the day I wanted to share, and we are. And our next on scene guest today is Dalton Main from Boston 25 News. So freaking exciting to have him on. He is the digital content producer, has created incredible shows to help promote all innovative things that are going on around the news. So today we're going to learn all about Dalton, his background. We also found out he's from Kentucky, so we get to talk about the Kentucky castle, learn a few fun facts about that, some of his guilty pleasures, and all that good stuff. So we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor and stay tuned for the amazing Dalton Main. All right, everybody, I officially have the amazing digital content producer for Boston 25, Dalton Main, on the line. Hi, Dalton. How are you today?
Pretty good, Jackie. Thanks so much for having me on.
So excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about your backstory for our audience members who don't know who you are. Like, how did you even get into the world of news?
Right. Well, I actually grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and when I went to college, I did a little bit of journalism, a lot of English literature, and then some cinema studies, and ended up sort of just being attracted to media and the ways that people tell stories, especially in the digital age, because, you know, about 10 years ago when I was getting out of college and starting a career, I was looking at the sort of revolution that was happening with not only all kinds of digital media, but with social media too. And so, you know, I just became attracted to all the different ways that people tell stories. And so that's when I went to graduate school at Indiana University, specifically in a program that looked at not only just digital journalism, but what we call convergence journalism, where, you know, the sort of the tools and the stories sort of meet and we decide which ones match up the best. And so we find, you know, whether it's putting something into podcast form or putting something into a video form or putting something into simple written words, you know, that's sort of what I learned to specialize in. And that's what got me into the idea of working for a TV station and taking, you know, TV stories and scripts and things like that and taking, you know, whatever we get and turning it into the best you know, the best kind of story we can with the tools that we have.
For sure. And from Kentucky to Indiana, how did you end up in Boston?
You know, I just thought it would be fun. I've always liked, I like being by the ocean, and, you know, I spent a lot of time in Florida as a kid. We had family down there, and so I thought Boston sounded fun. I wanted to move to a big city and you know, challenge myself in a different place, you know, it's amazing. You know, the more I moved around, the more I realized that people, for the most part, are pretty much the same. It's just that the scenery, the landscape, the industries have changed. And so it's been interesting learning a whole new set of, you know, ways that people make a living and just sort of live their life.
Really good point. So funny question in general, but how does it feel to be reverse roles? Because I feel like you're always interviewing and talking to people all the time. So
it's different. You know, normally I feel like I wasn't sure what to do to prepare. So normally I'm preparing for interviews and taking notes. And I'm like, well, I don't have any notes or anything. I don't have a way to prepare. I gotta remember my life and then the things that I've done.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So how long have you been now with Boston 25?
I started there in 2016. I moved up in March and started, I think that's right around the first day of April. And so I've been there for 3 years, and it's been great so far. It's been, you know, it's a neat station. And one thing that struck me immediately was we've got a lot of great people to work with and a lot of people that are very good at different things and different types of storytelling and are connected with different types of communities. And so it's really fun, especially for someone like me who works with a variety of stories, to have a variety of skills and stories coming at me.
Now, you really started their whole podcast segments, didn't you really? Were they as existent before you got there or?
No, it was a new thing. It was something that, you know, I don't know if people are familiar with Bob Ward, but he has been a reporter at Boston 25 or what used to be Fox 25. Back, he was there when it started in 1996, and he created this series called New England's Unsolved in 1999. They said, we want to have, the people that ran the station said, we want to have something we own, and so let's create this series called New England's Unsolved, where we highlight unsolved crimes and sort of keep them in the daily dialogue and keep them in front of people so that they're talked about and the victims aren't forgotten. And so he created New England's Unsolved. And he had said when I went to him, because you know, I'd been there for a couple of months, and as you do when you don't know anyone in the new city, you just sit around and watch true crime documentaries.
Right.
And so I cut into him and I found out that we had this whole back catalog of these, you know, basically little 3 to 5 minute true crime documentaries. And I said, Bob, have you ever thought about turning this into a podcast? And he said, you know, I've been saying that for years. He said, I think it would be cool to sit down and talk about this stuff. And I said, well, you know, let's finally do it. Let's sit down and sort of, it was a way to sort of revisit even the cases that have been the most worn, you know, cases that have been around since, you know, I mean, one was a woman that he knew, he grew up with. He knew her, he worked with her at a station, and he's always passionate about trying to solve her case and bring her family justice. And so he was more than happy to sit down and go through the archives with me and find new projects. And so that's sort of how we got into it from the beginning, because as you might know, podcasting really, you know, it's been around for, you know, almost 15 years now, but in 2014 with Serial, true crime really exploded it into the public consciousness. So we were like, let's start this with a true crime podcast. And from there, we had other people at the station say, ooh, let's work on other ideas. And so it's been a fun sort of way to diversify, because, you know, that's sort of what I do is I come in and I look at things and find ways to diversify the media.
I love it. I mean, you're just being so innovative in a station that's been around for so long. Good for you. Amazing.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. And now, of course, with marijuana legal in Massachusetts, you have this whole show now on mass marijuana, right?
Right. Yeah. So that was the company, Cox Media Group, that owns the station said, you know, we want to look for ways to capitalize on podcasts. And they said, does anybody have any good ideas? And I said, well, I think it'd be cool to do one as you know, the recreational cannabis industry opens up here, because in Massachusetts, you know, people, the first thing I found out was when you get there, people are like, oh, welcome to Taxachusetts. And so I thought, well, it'd be interesting to watch as a state notorious for this kind of, you know, overregulation, or, you know, what some people might call overregulation, say, let's look at it and find out how they do it and how they can set an example for other states. And so they said, sure. And so we got to sit down, and I did some of my own reporting, and then I had some of the reporters go out and do stories on things, and then use their audio. So it was a lot of fun to get to sit down with a whole interesting cast of characters, because I don't know if you follow, you know, the cannabis industry, but it's extremely diverse, and there are so many, people that, I don't want to say people that you wouldn't expect, but there's so many different people that are very involved with it, and they all have such interesting stories. And so it was really neat to get to talk to them about, you know, why they support this and why and how they've gotten into doing work on the legalization aspect and how they're getting to play that role now as it becomes legal.
It's so freaking cool. I totally have to agree with you, just because, like, you know, like, I'm kind of in my own media world, but I mean, people that you don't think are into it are completely into it, like hardcore, but they keep it secret unless you're into it. You know what I mean? It's so interesting.
Oh yeah. And the ways they get into it is crazy. Yeah. It's so interesting because they're like, oh yeah, I found out about it this way, or I learned about it for, you know, I had one guy that, said that it helped him get off of, he had, you know, an opioid addiction because he had hurt himself snowboarding and he hurt his back and he started on the pills, and he said it spiraled out of control, and it got to the point where somebody said, let's slow you down. Let's, you know, here, try marijuana, because they had seen success with it elsewhere. And they said, let's try it. And he said, okay. And when he talks about it, he says, this plant, he's like, this saved my life. And he's like, I want to help other people do that, because he's like, this got me off of, he had said he had gone to doing heroin, you know, intravenous injection. So he was like, you know, this really saved my life. And so I'm like, it's just fascinating to hear the ways people talk about it.
It really is. Love that. Well, thank you for sharing and being open to talk more about that. I think it's so awesome. So how often are those show episodes on? And tell us too where they can hear New England Unsolved, and then we'll talk about your other one.
Yeah. So they're, pardon me.
No worries.
We do them sort of in batches. I wouldn't want to say seasons or anything, but, you know, we do them in series of episodes because they are somewhat labor intensive. So you can find them on our website. Go to boston25.com, and then under one of the news panels on the top menu, you can find links to, you know, Mass Marijuana and Unsolved. You can also just go to boston25.com/unsolved or boston25.com/massmarijuana. And we have, I think each was a series of 5 episodes, and we're working on more because they're very, we're very careful about the way we do it, because we want to make sure we tell all the sides of the stories. And they really, each of the episodes in both Unsolved and Mass Marijuana, sort of intertwine a lot of really interesting storylines so that we can sort of bring out stories that you maybe weren't expecting to hear. So you can find those on our website or anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can search for them, and they're there.
So cool. And then when we kind of laughed when we first met each other, but you have a show called First on Scene. So tell us some more for our audience more about that show and what that entails.
Well, before you show up on scene, before the next on scene, First on Scene is this podcast. I know I was messing with you when you were there that day. It was just funny. Funny coincidence. But yeah, First on Scene is about first responders. Because it's fascinating. There's a big nursing school specifically in the neighborhood that I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and I have a bunch of friends that went there. So I have a bunch of friends who are in nursing, who are EMTs, paramedics, and so, you know, it was interesting for me through the years to just sit at a bar with them and listen to their stories and the things that they tell me, and so I thought, you know, it would be interesting not only to let people listen to some of these stories, but also to give first responders the sort of cathartic experience of just talking about it, just letting them, you know, sit down and sort of get it all out there, one, so that they can talk about it, too, so that, you know, the other people in their profession can listen and sort of, I don't know if commiserate is the right word, but sort of empathize with their situations or the stories that they tell. And then, you know, so that people like us, you and me, you know, the lay people can actually hear the stories and learn more about what they do. And also to help us learn, you know, what we need to do in emergency situations. So, the first episode, we said even before you get to the scene, you know, we started with a woman who is a call taker at a 911 call center in Massachusetts. And she talked about a guy calling and saying, you know, the guy that I'm working with, my partner on the construction site, has been electrocuted. He's barely breathing. What do I do? And so she talks him through chest compressions to keep him breathing until the actual first responders can get there. And it's fascinating to learn, you know, what you need to do and what you need to expect when you call 911 And then to hear from a woman who was just so calm under pressure, play part of that 911 call where she did to hear her. I think we played the whole thing, actually, where she talked him through it. And you get to hear it, and you get to hear the panic in his voice and the calm in her voice and how his panic eventually shifts to calm as she talks him through it. And it's just fascinating. It's been a really interesting it's fun to work on. Some of the stories we tell are not fun, but it's a very fun podcast to work on. It's a very interesting listen.
I mean, I would assume so. And I even think just even learning how the call center people learn how to be calm in that situation is beyond fascinating, because that really is like a traumatic situation, you know?
Yeah, and you know what I thought was fascinating? I'm almost like a spoiler alert for the first episode, because it's one of my favorite moments that we have is when she finishes the call and she says, okay, I'm going to let you go, talk to the people that are there on scene with you. And she finishes her story, and Blair, the host, Blair Miller, he's one of our anchors. He says, well, then, what next? And she says, well, I hang up the phone and it rings again and I talk to someone else. And it's a fascinating moment in that interview that I would have never thought of. But, when you're on this frantic phone call with someone and you have to be the voice of reason, and then all of a sudden it's done, you've played your part, and it's like a snap of a finger, it starts all over again.
Wow.
And you never know what's going to be on the line. And it was fascinating to me.
I'm going to have to listen to that specific one, because I've listened to other ones, but that sounds very fascinating. Love it.
Yeah, she was really good. And it was, I guess we kind of looked at her afterwards and we're like, I guess we're not surprised that you're good at talking, because, you talk on the phone all day for a living. We were like, I guess it makes sense. We're like, yeah, you were really good at just sort of being interviewed on a podcast, because you do this all the time.
Right. Oh my God. So freaking cool. That is like very interesting that you even thought to explore that route for podcasting, because I also feel like you were saying it's so therapeutic for them, because they need to release mm-hmm. what they've been dealing with, on some level, even just to talk about it. So
yeah, we've had a lot of people reach out from different communities. I think somebody from the South Shore Hospital just reached out the other day, and they all say, hey, we really appreciate you listening to these stories, and we've got one that we'd like to tell. And I think too importantly, we've got a lot of agencies that say, hey, we want to tell a certain story that we think would help people. We had Boston EMS said, hey, we'd love to come on and talk about how people need carbon monoxide detectors. And this was back in, I think it was like late February, early March. And they said, it's really cold out right now and people are trying to heat their homes and they need carbon monoxide detectors. And we want to come in and talk about that. And we'll tell you about a time where, we responded to an incident where a family just said their son was sick, but they got there and their carbon monoxide detector was going off. And they said, we need to get everybody out of this building right now. So it's interesting, and it's been great, for as it grows and as more people hear about it, they say, hey, we've got something that we feel like would help people. So it's been really cool. And that's been the case with a lot of the podcast stuff. I started on the mass marijuana podcast and just immediately had people saying, oh my gosh, you got to learn about this. We got to talk about this. And it's been fascinating to just see where it all goes.
So freaking cool. I love it. Absolutely love it. So they can also access that on boston25.com, right? My audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's at boston25.com/firstonscene. Or you can find it under the flyout menus, or, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can probably download it, unless it's your website.
Yep, valid. Good point. Well, no, it'll be on my – well, this podcast will be on my website, but I can link to your stuff too, for sure.
Great.
So, very cool stuff, Dalton. So, I want to play a quick game time, because I know you got to go play soccer. So, first of all, I want to ask – so, let's talk about game time first with soccer. So, how did soccer come about as a hobby? Is this something of interest to you? Like, tell us how you got into soccer.
Yeah, well, actually, you may edit this out if you want, but I'm actually going to watch the U.S. Women's National Team play in the World Cup.
And cool.
I do play soccer, and that's fun, but we're going out to a watch party. I'm actually on vacation in Chicago, and we're going to a watch party, at a bar here in town to cheer on the women's national team as they play England in the World Cup. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love soccer. I grew up with it. I grew up on the sidelines. I had, I had a dad who was a soccer coach and a stepdad who was a volleyball coach. So sports was a big part of my life. And I grew up loving soccer and still play it as a hobby and love watching it and supporting it, especially the women's game is so important because the women's national team are such great role models for young women. And so I love supporting it and seeing that game do so well.
That's freaking awesome. Well, okay, so I won't edit that out because I didn't know all those fun facts that you were going to watch soccer. So really cool. So side note, by the way, because the show is called Next on Scene. Do you know Brittany Cartwright? Because she's a reality star on Bravo and she's from Kentucky and got married there this weekend. So I was wondering if you knew who she was.
You know what? That name sounds familiar. And at first, you know, it was funny because when you said the name, I thought, why do I know that name? And then you said she's from Kentucky, and I feel like I've probably heard of her. I don't know much about her. That's my one weakness, I would say, in my pop culture knowledge, is I just don't watch reality TV, and I don't know why. I don't you know, fault anyone who does. Lots of people love it, but it's just something I know almost nothing about.
Yeah,
but I do feel like I know that name, because working in the news, I feel like we talked about, you know, whenever somebody makes it big, we talk about, you know, so-and-so from our town is there.
That's so funny. Yeah, well, the only reason I was bringing her up is because this past weekend she got married at the Kentucky Castle. And so it was everywhere. It was everywhere. So the fact that you said you were from Kentucky and, like, that's, like, where, you know, your roots, I was like, oh, my God, maybe Dalton knows her, so we'll ask. That's pretty cool, though.
That castle. Now, this is what I was always told. Like, I could be wrong. But, you know, this may not be 100% accurate. But what I was told was that a very wealthy, you know, horse farm owner had that castle built for his wife, I want to say in the 20s or 30s, and then she left him.
What?
And so he never moved in. He never finished it. And it sat there empty for a long time as, like, an unfinished thing. Because I know that... you know, my dad and mom both went to the University of Kentucky, and they would talk about people going and sneaking onto the, you know, sneaking and climbing over the wall and going in and exploring the castle. And that was, they would hate me if I actually divulged this, but sometime in the late 70s, I don't think they want me to give a specific year to when they were in college. But
I don't think that matters, but
sometime,
it's...
yes, sometime in the late 70s, there was, you know, people sneaking into the castle, you know, when they were in college. And it eventually, I want to say, somebody bought it and turned it into a very high-priced hotel, an event center for because it's right near the airport in Lexington and right near the horse racing track. And so a lot of people would fly in for big horse racing events, and there's a giant horse auction that happens there for racehorses. And so they made it into a really nice hotel for people to stay in. I don't know if it's still open or not, but I know that happened for a while.
That is pretty awesome.
If she got married there.
Yeah. No, clear. I mean, obviously, I guess so. And then are you, like, a big Kentucky Derby guy, I'm assuming, or is that an assumption?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you grow up in Kentucky, it's just one of those things. You play basketball as a kid and you watch horse racing or you're involved in some way in horse racing. So,
right.
You know, they're just two things that I'm terrible at basketball. I've never been good at it. I was never tall enough. I'm not good at basketball, but I grew up playing it, and then I grew up watching horse racing. So that's, you know, those are kind of the two staples.
Never knew basketball was a big thing down there. Cool fact of the day for me.
Oh, yeah, the University of Kentucky, it's all about college basketball down there.
Wow. Cool fact of the day. Okay, quick three questions. What is Dalton's favorite food?
Ooh, definitely spaghetti. I could eat. I mean, if I'm just, like, lazy and at home at night, I'll just make spaghetti and just, like, pour salt and pepper on it and just eat it. I mean, it's terribly unhealthy. Would not advise it. But it's just,
I love the whole description of the salt and pepper too. That's awesome. Love it.
Oh yeah.
Love it. Okay, very cool fact. Is there a specific brand you like of pasta, or do you make your own pasta? Break it down for us a little bit.
Yeah. No. You know, I don't make my own pasta, though I have. I had my grandfather used to help us make pasta when we were little, but I haven't done that because I'm too lazy.
I get that.
I get it a lot at Costco because I eat so much of it. I'll just buy it in large quantities. But I really like, what's funny is I really like the style of pasta called bucatini. They're like straws. They're like long, they're almost like Sour Punch straws.
Totally
pasta.
Know what you're talking about. Sour Punch.
Yes,
I love the description. So funny.
Yeah, I love that pasta. It's my favorite.
Okay, so now we know Dalton's favorite food. Love it. What is your, working in the news, even though you're not into reality TV, what is your TV guilty pleasure?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Can you repeat that?
No worries. What is your TV guilty pleasure?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, all of it, everything. I watch a lot of TV. You know, it's one of those things that I can do while I'm doing other things.
I'll totally.
Put something on and just have it going on. You know, I'm into, you know, one of the guilty pleasures is probably like just like Lifetime shows. Like, I love that television movie version of the Lizzie Borden with Christina Ricci, and then that show that they did after it. You know, just those, like, campy shows that are just silly and fun, and their plot moves at 100 miles an hour, and there's just always something happening. I get into stuff like that.
That's love that.
Sort of fun and just, yeah, just entertaining to watch.
I think it's interesting, too, just speaking from an outside, that you're interested in Lifetime, because you work in the news, and I feel like a lot of the Lifetime stories are based somewhat on true stories, right?
Yeah, all those movies, yeah, they're based on things that happened. And there's one about the Gloucester pregnancy pact and stuff. Yeah, they're fascinating.
Love it. Okay, final question. Where is a destination you have not been to that is on your bucket list, and why?
Definitely Scotland. I would love to go there. I feel like I'm cheating giving you two, but I would love to go to the Andes Mountains in South America. That's always been sort of the thing that I would love to go see.
That's cool.
Because I love birds, and I love the Andean condor is supposed to be one of the largest birds in existence with a wingspan of up to 12 feet. I would love to see one of those flying over the mountains. I think that would be really cool. But both sides of my family, my mom's side comes from the Baltic Sea area, and my dad's side comes from Scotland. And so I just feel like that kind of weather is in my DNA. I love rainy days and cold days. So I just feel like that part of the world, I need to go see and experience.
Why not? Why not? Just do it, right? That's the motto
just
of today.
Experience the highlands and terrible rainy weather that just most people hate, but for some reason I'm just comfortable in it.
Right. Well, can't blame you for that. Dalton, you are so awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today. Can you tell everybody how they can, you know, once again, tell them how they can follow you on social media and also listen to your podcasts?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @Dalton_Maine. Maine sounds like the street, not like the state. That was not really an issue until I moved to New England, and everybody thinks it's like the state. But yeah, @Dalton_Maine. And then I believe my Instagram is just @DEMaine10. It's not that interesting. It's a lot of just photos of things I find interesting that apparently a lot of people don't
right.
kind of like. So.
Hey, I think you're doing a great job. So I was honored to have you on today.
You.
And such a blast. Everybody definitely follow Dalton on all his social media channels. And stay tuned for who's next on Scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for startups to celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us today at nextonscene.com or get social with us at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on Scene.
From a bird-watching nurse to a line-dancing firefighter, nobody's just one thing. That's why Polar Pop and Froster aren't either. Choose from all kinds of flavors and make your mix. Polar Pop and Froster, just 99 cents each at Circle K. Limited time only at participating locations.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.